today, I'd like to start in on the actual body of the Anapanasati, you know, the mindfulness of breathing instructions. It's broken up into four tetrads, so that there's 16 stages, and it's broken up in such a way that each tetrad it corresponds to the one of the foundations of mindfulness, so that the first tetrad is concerning the body. Next one is concerning feelings. Next one is concerning mind. Next one concerning mind objects. This is the sort of the heart of Buddhist practice. These foundations of mindfulness, and then in particular, the mindfulness of breathing is getting into actual technique, practical application of these four foundations of mindfulness, how to use it as a method, as a technique. And these are characteristic of the, say, of the Theravada tradition, in the sense of the this great importance placed from ancient times in the in Theravada tradition through to the present of these two discourses, and these the four foundations of mindfulness and mindfulness of breathing. It's something that Thich Nhat Hanh makes an observation, and that it is something which is still very highly praised and highly regarded in the Theravada tradition. And he himself, being a Mahayana monk, saying that this is something which the Mahayana tradition has lost, or has not paid sufficient attention to, and sort of saying this is really something that the Mahayana tradition should also reincorporate into their traditions. So it's recognizing the importance that's placed on, say, from ancient times on this sutta, which actually sort of distills the importance of these four foundations of mindfulness down into a way of practice, and then the an even modern teachers of other Buddhist traditions sort of seeing the recognizing the importance also, so that, as I said, this is the first day that's there. The instructions can be very terse, but it, as one starts to reflect on it and practice with it, you start to build layer on layer how to use the breathing, so that will, and then particularly within the framework of those four foundations of mindfulness. It starts with the breathing in long, he understands, I breathe in long. Or breathing out long, he understands, I breathe out long. That's the first section. And what you're doing is just paying attention to the breath, when the breath is long, you see it clearly and understand this is a long breath. The next one is breathing in short. He understands I breathe in short or breathing out short. He understands I breathe out short. So that just being able to recognize clearly and pay attention to just that much. But you're not trying to force the breath in any way. You're not trying to create anything spectacular out of the breath. You're not trying to read anything into the breath. All you're doing is trying to recognize when you're breathing in long or out long, that's what you see, what you know. And knowing just that much, the disease of the mind is always the extra things we add on things, what we read into things, or what we try to get out of things, and just to stay with experience as it is quite difficult as human beings. So that, but it's a basic foundation that needs to be cultivated and paid attention to. So this is your start. Starting to cultivate just that simple awareness of breathing in long, breathing out long, just that much. And I mean, there'll be plenty of opportunity in the future to have this, the other 14 stages to start doing other things with it. But this is your base that you come back to. This is what is the foundation. And it's a foundation that you start which kind of typifies the path of training of the Buddha and the insight, the enlightenment of the Buddha. Because the crux of knowledge in Buddhist practice is what's called in Pali yatha bhuta jnanatasana, which is seeing things as they truly are. And it's something which we completely miss. That's the problem of existence. It's not that we don't know enough, or we don't have enough intelligence, or we don't have enough imagination, or we don't. We've got all those things, but we don't see things as they truly are, and we tend to see past truth, or we see over truth. So that just being able to see things as they truly are is the core insight that really changes consciousness. So that in practicing with the breath and trying to lay a foundation for that insight or that approach to insight is just taking something like the breath and say, breathing in long, he understands, I breathe in long, and just seeing that as it truly is. This is just a long breath, and then there's a long breath going out, maybe. There might be a short breath, and then you know that. And rather than all the worry and concerns that could come from that, say, gee, I have three long breaths and I've got a short breath. Now, what does that mean? and worry about it, or all the different kinds of proliferations that can come, or just the actual not being able to the mind being so caught up in its activity, its projections, its feelings that one has difficulty actually coming back to the breath and just being with the body, being with the breathing. So that trying to get a sense of getting grounded in the breathing. Breathing in long, he understands, I breathe in long. Breathing out long, he understands, I breathe out long. Really trying to get a sense of being comfortable with just that much. Getting a sense of feeling the body, feeling the breath in the body, feeling how the different kinds of how the breath are associated with different kinds of mental states. Just like that, there's the difference between a long breath and a short breath. How does that feel physically? When one's breathing in short, what's the actual feeling in the body? What are the mental states that are associated with that? When one breathes in long, why does the Buddha sort of start with breathing in long? As opposed to breathing in short. For me, what I would say is that because the long breath tends to be relaxing, tends to be settling, tends to lead to a sense of bodily and mental tranquility. So that using that as your first step in practicing and training, you come back to the breathing in long, breathing out long. When one recognizes the value of it, then one would tend to see the value, and it's quite natural that something that feels comfortable, one naturally goes to that. So that to use the long breathing as your base to keep coming back to. In doing long, say breathing, sometimes that's where you're like relaxing your body, and then letting the breath coming down to the abdomen, and you find that the long breath coming down into the abdomen, the abdomen sort of rising, the whole body sort of feeling like it's filling with air, and on a physiological level we all know that our lungs that are filling up with air, but there's a sense of the movement that comes into the body, particularly into the abdomen. If one just sort of breathes from one's chest, it'll be shallow and short, short, shallow breaths, and it won't be as relaxing. It won't be as settling. So that although say each person needs to sort of investigate and see how their breathing actually works. And that's a part of the training in this is the mindfulness of breathing is just sort of seeing how you breathe, and what it And it's something that we take for granted. It's like things that we've done as a necessity in living. You don't normally think about it very much. It's only when you've got a cold or asthma or something you just actually think about your breathing. But in ordinary circumstances you don't think about it very much at all. You don't pay much attention to it at all. But if attention is paid to it, you start realizing that it's, let's say, each breath is has its own character, has its own sort of feel to it, has its own sort of flavor of what it's associated with. So to just slowing down the mental processes and slowing down one's projections out into the future and just coming to paying attention to one in-breath and one out-breath and getting a sense of its length, its shortness. It doesn't have, I mean, there's never going to be a sort of a clear dividing line between a short and a long breath, so it can be quite subjective and change at different times. But to actually just sort of have that in mind of noting, because it will condition the sense of ease in the body, or it'll tend to have a mirror which is sort of being held up to see one's say emotional state, feelings, what's going on in the mind. Oftentimes, if there's things like anger, aversion to something, there tends to be short breaths or strong emotion of some other. So just anxiety, fear. There tends to be the breath tends to shorten, so that one can in recognizing that, then one can return to the first step. And so how breathing in long, he understands that breathing long, come back to that long breathing to settle things, to get your anchor down. And the starting to pay attention to just something as simple as an in breath and an out breath. As you say, it appears something so totally ordinary, but. It's your breath is life, and that's that's how you define a living being in Buddhism, you know, sort of like the first precept, panatipata, I undertake the precept of refraining from taking the life of living beings. Prana is you say, like if it goes to Sanskrit, it's prana, so that it's the breath. You're defining a living being as something that's breathing, and that's what. So the breath is life. In the same way that if we reflect on it, it's sort of like an in breath that doesn't go out is that's the end of one's life faculty in about 3 minutes or something. It's or an out breath that doesn't come in again is And that is the end of life, the end of what we call ourselves, our being. So that reflection of making this quite immediate, paying attention to each, trying to get a sense of paying attention to each in breath and each out breath. And the Buddha was discussing one time with the monks about reflections on the reflections on death, on the imminence of death, and asking different monks how often they practiced mindfulness of death, a recollection of death, and various monks would sort of say, "Oh, if I have the reflection that when I go into Pindavat for in the morning, and I have the reflection that maybe tomorrow I'll die during the day. I'll die during the day tomorrow. I won't be able to go for alms round." And then it's sort of shortening it down to, if I start the meal, then I might not finish the meal because I may die. Until finally, one monk sort of said that if I take an in breath, I have the recollection that I might not be able to take an out breath and may die before then. And with each breath, then the Buddha sort of said he praised the one who had the recollection on each in breath and out breath, and said that, say, for others, there's still an element of heedlessness when one hasn't got that recollection, if it's sort of spaced out in time. So that the recollection of the importance of the breath, the importance of having breath, to be able to have the life faculty to breathe in and to breathe out again, to breathe in long and to actually understand I breathe in long, and to breathe out and understand breathing out long, to actually have to recollect and remember just how fortunate one is to actually have that, to understand that, to know that this is, that one is breathing, one's living, one has the faculties to understand. Because without those faculties to understand just something as simple as the breath, we would never be able to understand Dhamma, we would never be able to understand truth, we would never be able to understand virtue and goodness. So that the importance of say each in breath and each out breath, is we have that with each in breath and out breath, we have the life faculty, which is a precious gift, a precious time that can't be wasted, or can't be frittered away. It can't be, you can't call it back again and say, I'd like an instant replay on that one. I blew the last month, or the last week, or the last year. I'd like a replay on that one. And it doesn't work. It only works on television. So the sense of recollection of the in breath and the out breath, breathing in long when it's good. Understand breathing in long, breathing out long, understand breathing out long. Recognizing and seeing each breath as something very important, very, very special. And its importance is as giving us life, supporting us. And then seeing that also when we start not putting projections on it and not expecting anything and not measuring it against anything else, to start to recognize, say the uniqueness of each breath. Start to pay attention to the different quality of the sensor as it comes in, and as it coming in, the length of it, the feeling of it, how it settles with one, and then the breath going out, so that they, whether it's long, whether it's short, its quality of coarseness, of being refined and very, very subtle, of being it could be quite coarse and there could be difficulty breathing, but just to recognize that and use that simple basis as a foundation, because the sense that we're always going out looking for some attainment or some progress or some affirmation that we're actually getting somewhere. These are the things which actually agitate the mind and get in the way of practicing and deriving the fruits of practice. So that to recognize that, and then just to come back to breathing in long, he understands, or breathing long, breathing out long, understands, or breathe out long. And it's deceptive how difficult it is. It's something that we keep coming back to. And this first step of mindfulness of breathing, one should be willing to stick with this step get a handle on that first step before worrying too much about all the rest of the other steps. Our tendency is we want to get to the end. We want to get the results. We want to get progress. And so in doing that, we miss the opportunity to get settled really well in the feeling of what will take us to the goal, because the mind which is skipping over things and going out all the time is not going to actually realize or penetrate or see clearly. So this coming back to the long breath, or just the sense of the breath, whether it's long or whether it's short. This is the breath. This is the knowing. And that in this sutta, that is the these first two parts of the 16 stages, they have a different grammatical base, and the verbs that they use are different from the other 14. It's concerned with understanding, knowing, seeing clearly, so that it's that's what one is doing. All the rest of the 14 stages are uh, a verb which is means to sort of to train in or to learn from. So that this is just this is the foundation that you make is in just knowing and understanding the seeing clearly of something, so the breath, and then from that base, then you start going into the training. You're training in applying attention. You're training in investigating. You're training in altering states of consciousness. But the base that needs to be established is in this very simple, this very clear knowing. So that to get a good sense of how to return to that quality of knowing. Because this quality of knowing and understanding and seeing clearly is what all knowledge grows from, all insight grows from. Insights and knowledge of the Buddha come from and even when we actually give the epithet of the Buddha, he's the one who knows, and you realize as you continue practicing that the knowledge that is to be understood is not the knowledge externally, a knowledge of something, but an actual connection with the knowing, as opposed to, say, like a static knowledge, actually connecting with and getting a sense of being able to participate in a knowing within the heart, and that's what changes, the mind from being taking on defilements, taking on opinions and views, taking on structures of delusion. It's coming back to this base of knowing, and that cuts through the sort of the static objects of what we want to know or want to what we take for reality or what we want to make into reality, so that returning to the base of knowing within the heart, so that this very simple exercise of paying attention to breathing in long or breathing in short, what you're doing is coming back to the foundation of knowing and getting a grounding and a sense of being comfortable with the knowing. Because we're not comfortable with the knowing, because we're always going out towards knowledge and experience, then we keep missing. So that to return to the base of knowing within the heart, and that's a moment to moment quality. It's a moment to moment moment-to-moment connecting with, moment-to-moment recognition of its importance. And as one starts to settle with that, then there's a lot of just things drop away. Doubts start to drop away. Confusion starts to drop away. What looks attractive starts to drop away. It's seen in a different light. what is normally seen as something which one would be averse to, seen in a different light. So that's we return to that base of knowing. So I offer that for your reflection.